This morning's reading comes from Ephesians, or rather, I got it marked to the wrong place. It doesn't come from Ephesians, it comes from John chapter 2. And it's going to be right here, tell you what, I'm just going to go back to this one right here. Find it in the Red Bible. All right. So it's a passage in Luke, or rather John chapter 2, and Jesus has just ransacked the temple in Jerusalem. And we were talking last Sunday about this temple, you know, this temple with the 40-foot walls and then a big courtyard and then another wall and then all these steps that lead up into the building of the temple. So this is what we're talking about, this temple. And Jesus went in there, into that courtyard area. We might think of this as our the yard of our house. So we're standing in the yard of the house that is the temple. And Jesus ransacked this temple. There were people there who were part of the, you know, they were sort of the deacons and the elders of the church, if you will, who were doing this duty of helping the travelers. This is the Day of Atonement. Once a year, travelers come from different places all across the land to renew their relationship with God and to have their sins forgiven and cleansed so that they are free and whole again. And so what they're doing, though, the deacons and elders are they're selling these doves and cattle and rams, and they're selling these to the travelers so that they can purchase them and have them available to make the sacrifice offerings at the temple so that they can be forgiven and whole. Now, aren't you glad we don't do that today? Yeah. And aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Jesus takes care of this for us. And we don't have to bring in our cattle one at a time every Sunday. So this is the situation. It's just after this. So let's pick it up here. And the Jews, these are the folks who are there who witnessed this. This is beginning at verse 18. The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, I'm going to focus on Jesus saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, I wanted to pray for you all last Sunday, and I forgot to. I was going to pray for all of us who remember the great Columbus Day storm. It was a week ago, Friday, October 12th. And you guys know this story better than I. I wasn't in the state when it happened. In fact, I wasn't born. Born the next year. Humbling, huh? So October 12th, 1962, I was born the next March, all right? So I'm not a teenager, but I'm definitely not someone who was alive at that time, all right? I had a woman come up to me after a service and say, "Wow, wonderful service, you look like a teenager." So I've had that happen too. So in the Columbus Day storm, it was catastrophic. The range of the storm was from the San Francisco Bay Area all the way up through Seattle, and maybe even into parts of Canada. And the lowest wind gust recorded in the Eugene area during the storm, this was the tropical storm Frida. All right, and if I say anything wrong, you tell me and correct me, okay? Because I wasn't there and I wasn't even alive, but I'm going to tell you. So tropical storm Frida had circled around from the Philippines and it circled back up north, and then it came down and around and into our area. And the lowest wind gust was 86 miles an hour. Lowest wind gust, 86 miles an hour. And communication towers, radio towers were knocked down left and right. More timber was knocked down. More trees were knocked down than, you know, you can shake a stick at, for sure. I don't know what the value of it was, but the total destruction of the storm in 1962 dollars was around $250 million. Today, the value, $5 billion. $5 billion. And so it was felt everywhere, all up and down the coast. And so folks came to the church campus here, and I imagine they saw destruction. They saw the steeple, the precious steeple that many of you have memories of pulling the rope back there to ring the bell from. And this steeple was toppled and fell to the ground, probably among trees that were downed, and probably other things, tiles, maybe other parts of the building. Am I right? And so this was destructive, very destructive, and traumatic, I would guess. Not just in our own front yards, but in the precious home we call church here. And so in this morning's passage, as I reflected on this, both a pastoral concern for what happened so long ago, but yet is so powerfully etched in our minds and hearts, and indeed with our church. Because you see, it wasn't a gutter, it wasn't a mailbox, it wasn't the pastor's door, it was our steeple. And the steeple is this image of aspiration, this image of us reaching out and of God reaching us and of the connection that happens of God with us. This image of us being a beacon of light to all the people in Cresswell, a beacon of light that reminds us of who we are as we sing at the choir, as we come and pray, as we read from Scripture, as we heal each other's wounds through the power of God at work. It's an image of our bond and connection, our yearning for God, and of God's for us. But that day, the steeple had toppled. And with it came much consternation and concern. And so I want to express a pastoral concern and to explore this, and to see how it might remind us of who we are and empower us on a journey going forward, freed and whole. John's gospel, later on in John's gospel, he says the purpose of his writing is that we might know that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who frees us to be living alive, to be alive in Him, and not dead to the Spirit. But what a powerful storm, and what a powerful hit on a metaphor, a beautiful metaphor of who we are. And so the question I have and wonder about is it possible? Can the church be destroyed? Can the church be raised? R-A-Z-E-D. Can the church be at the hand of the wind knocking down the steeple? Can the church be toppled? Can the church suffer destruction and never to get up again? And for each one of us, with our own sufferings and illnesses, with our own challenges, maybe in our marriages or our lives, or maybe with our grandchildren or children, there are those things that impact us on a day-to-day basis. And the question is, do these have the power? Can they keep on holding us down? Can they keep us toppled? So Jesus says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. And there were three layers, like all great master teachers. They're talking on many different levels and speaking to and teaching many different people at very different places on their journey. So in other words, you know, Jesus could sit down with Mitt Romney and Barack Obama and with, you know, Democrats and Republicans, and he could teach them, and they would all get something. And they would all be empowered on a journey. So Jesus, this master teacher, in what he says, he's actually saying many things to many people, all of which teaches them, challenges them, and nurtures them with the holy divine spirit and presence of God. So, destroy this temple. There are three levels and meanings that I want to touch on. One is, destroy this temple, meaning the building. Destroy this building that has 40-foot walls, and then has a courtyard, and then has 5-foot walls, and then has all these steps leading up to it, and then it has this holy of holy places, and destroy this temple. And he's saying to those who've been selling the animals, to those who would worship and be so that they could go and be forgiven by purchasing a dove or a cattle, you know, a cow or a ram. And it worked in this scale. If you were poor, you bought a dove. If you were feeling good, you bought 2 doves. If you were rich, you bought the bull. If you were in the middle, you bought the cow. And you gave it to the priest to be sacrificed. And so the, I'll call them the elders and the deacons, just so we can visualize that, you know, these are people that are part of the temple. And so they're selling all of these, and it's sort of like this menu at McDonald's, all right? Or at Denny's. And the menu is, what can you afford, and what do you want? Purchase that, and then go be forgiven. And Jesus is saying, if you keep on doing that, if you keep on making the worship of God something that is frivolous, something that is economical and not spiritual, something that is maybe up here. Do people need a dove? We'll provide it. We'll sell it to them. They'll buy it. We'll make a little money on the side. Church will be better. What's the harm? But Jesus is saying, keep on doing that. Keep on eliminating the possibility of God at work, the reality of God speaking into your heart, that you may be alive. Remember John's purpose, that you may be alive, that you may be living in Christ, the Son of God. So the first level of destroy this temple is the building. And Jesus says, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up again. And Jesus is saying, destroy this temple. And these folks who are selling the animals are on a path, Jesus is saying, of destruction. And indeed, the temple was destroyed 30 years later. In 70, the Christian era, by the Roman soldiers, by the Romans. Gone. And so the first level is destroy this temple, destroy the building. By how you behave, by how little you make God to be. The second level of destroy this temple is, he's speaking of his body, his personal body. So he's saying that if you keep on making God this small in your life, and if you keep on making the hurdles this big for knowing a God who knows no bounds, in other words, for being a stumbling block for people to connect with God, if you keep on doing this, then you will be destroying me. And you value this destruction more than you value me. You paid 30 pence, 30 coins for the destruction of me. So the third level of destroying this temple is that he's speaking of the community, the body of God. You see, because God had broken into history and had brought about a new thing, he was creating a light to all the nations through the people of Israel and leading them out of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 days, or rather for 40 years, and then coming across the River Jordan, promising them a land flowing with milk and honey, a place that they could call their home and from out of which would come the Messiah. And so he was preparing a people, a community, a body of God. And Jesus says, destroy this body, like you're doing now, making God this small and the stumbling blocks this big for knowing God and for nurturing the community, the church, the synagogue, as it was. He said, destroy this temple. Now, surely, the steeple was toppled from off the building. And it was a great destruction, I would expect and can imagine, for us. And there was great energy and the coming together to fix it, to get it back up, to restore this metaphor of who we are. Now, God was at work then. And he's at work now. And so Jesus says, destroy this temple. And there are the three levels. The building, his person, his body, and then the body of God, the community of Christ. He says, I will raise it up in 3 days. I will raise it again in 3 days. They're the same three levels. So the first level was the building. Jesus says, I will raise it up again. The temple, 40-foot high walls with the courtyard and then the 5-foot high walls and the steps leading up at the Holy of Holies, Jesus will replace that, will raise it up again. But it isn't what they thought at the time. It's not a new building. It's not even 1,000 buildings across the country. It's himself. He becomes a place of community, of connection. He is the place at which we have and can claim our wholeness in the face of our own illnesses, in the face of destruction, of toppling, of being raised. R-A-G-E-D. So the second layer, Jesus says, I will raise it up again. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again, is about his body. The resurrection, the Easter, on the third day he was raised from the dead and from out of the tomb. In the tomb were only the clothes, folded neatly in the place where his body laid. There was a heavy stone that no one person or two could roll away. There were burly guards standing outside the gate, outside the tomb, outside the stone, who were posted there with the mission of making sure that neither they nor the Roman people would be embarrassed by any monkey business. But Jesus said that on the third day he would be raised. And did he? Was he raised? Yes. He was raised. The third level. Remember, building his own body, and that the body of Christ, the community of God. He said, I will raise it up again. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again on the third day. And so Jesus is saying that though many are going about the way of being holy in the wrong way, making God this small and the stumbling block this tall, Jesus overcomes all evil intention, all misguided ways. And he brings together a body of Christ. When Jesus is raised on the third day, the body of Christ is born. Well, in 40 days from then, the Holy Spirit is given. And the people have the power to back it up. But when he's raised on the third day at Easter, they are the risen people of God. Where before they were a people who would journey every year up the hill to the mountain of the temple of the mountain, through a courtyard door of the 40-foot-high wall and into the courtyard and make their way past all of the people and pay for a dove or a cow or a bull and find their way to the priest and pay him the money and then hope that they were forgiven. But Jesus overcame all that. The blood of the Lamb. So that it isn't the destruction of the temple that destroys us. It isn't the toppling of the steeple that topples us. It isn't any piece of the building being destroyed, defaced, or impaired that even touches upon who we are, the children of God, the people of God, the body of Christ, And so, as I think about this, Jesus saying, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. He's not trying to control his body, not saying, uh-oh, they're going to destroy my body. I got to do something. I got to fix it. And it's an urge that we all have. I know, and I've felt that many times. We've got to fix this. In seminary, the pastoral care class, you know, there are 40 people in the class, and they sit down and we do this sample, you know, sort of mock pastoral care situation. The person has this big problem. We don't know what it is, but we go into the room and they tell us what the problem is, and they make it bigger every time. And so we sit down there, and it's one by one, and it's videotaped, right? And everybody looks at the videotape, and they go, oh, look at that. Oh, you got it wrong, right? And they look at that, and they say, oh, you messed it up. And what happens is that time after time, in 99.5% of the time, what the seminary person does is they try and fix it. Person says, oh, well, I'm so overwhelmed that at night I pull out the bottle and I drink till it's empty. And so the seminary person says, have you removed all the bottles from the home? He's trying to fix it, right? I'll be right over and I'll remove all the bottles for you, okay? Thanks for visiting. But that's not the way it works, is it? The steeple falls, but Jesus says, let it go. The steeple cannot harm us. It cannot hurt us one bit. Let the wind blow. Let the steeples fall. Let the building be raised. R-A-Z-E-D. But I'm in charge. And because I'm in charge, you are raised. R-A-I-S-E-D. The church cannot be raised down to the ground. There's nothing at all that can touch the church except Satan, if we let him. And even he, we can let Christ defeat as easy as Tom by declaring by the blood of Christ, Satan be gone from this beautiful sanctuary. Satan be gone from this church. Satan be gone from our homes. Satan be gone from our church boards. Satan be gone from this town. So whatever you face, maybe a chronic illness, it may be something very difficult, maybe grief at the loss of a loved one, or the toppling of a steeple. There's a hand that will reach out to us and catch us when we're falling. And we will be raised.